So let's examine this question of the closed moral universe of class. Within it, we can do nothing to end it. Last week, we asked, what are the things we take for granted that need to be examined? Well, it may be we can deconstruct our deep class conditioning by examining each of these things. Hierarchy, market, the state. I believe that every place that can should start convening such conversations. And to illustrate, I thought we could make a start today by returning to the role of the state. Montesquieu, who lived from 1689 to 1755, said, quote, "Only good government brings prosperity to the prince," unquote. He might equally well have said, "Only good government keeps the people working." Last week we said it matters little to power. How? As long as our heads stay bowed. Another way of putting this is to say, as long as we keep to our role, which is to obey, do what we're told. But what we've been saying in this space is that passivity is built in structurally, and that there is no deep-rooted way for us to be big in this system. In his book, The Great Transformation, Karl Polanyi said this about Bentham, quote, "In respect to material welfare," which the shorthand for might be full bellies, "Bentham believed the influence of legislation is as nothing in comparison with the unconscious contribution of the minister of the police. Of the three things needed for economic success, prosperity to the prince, inclination, knowledge, and power. The private person possessed only inclination. Knowledge and power," Bentham taught, "can be administered much cheaper by government than by private persons," unquote, from Polanyi. So wherever obedience, discipline, has not been deeply instilled, wherever the people are not inclined to obey, this obedience must be shaped into place by the state. Case in point, another article from the February 7 to 13, 2013 Epoch Times, titled "Affirming Somali Sovereignty" by Abdinur Mohamud. The writer, speaking for global power, I believe is being disingenuous when he says he's affirming Somali sovereignty. He doesn't really want sovereignty for Somalia. He wants integration in the global economy. The self-government that he castigates must be eradicated so that the state can be guided globally via the world economy. Placidly, we co-sign their hubris in organizing the globe until we accept the legitimacy of a united, self-organized global humanity. This is an excerpt from the article directed to Somalis. Well, to all of us, but anyway. Quote, "It should be abundantly clear that recognition from Western headquarters alone." And I should have mentioned that this article began by reporting that it says here that on January 17, Hillary Clinton officially declared U.S. recognition of Somalia as a sovereign and equal partner, restoring bilateral relations between the two states for the first time in two decades. And so then back to this quote, other quote from the article, "It should be abundantly clear that recognition from Western headquarters alone will not be sufficient to salvage Somalia from its prolonged failed state status. It must immediately be followed by credible and measurable progress on all fronts. These fronts include, first and foremost, progress in the security sector and the restoration of a viable national army, police, and coast guard to protect and safeguard national borders and coastal areas. Sovereign states, the Somali government must be reminded, are not protected by foreign armies." And I'm bringing this up because, well, for a lot of reasons. I've been thinking a lot about this question of how what we believe to be human nature is, in fact, crafted. And if violence and greed are part of our human nature, quote unquote, then how can we proceed steadily with the goal of civilization, which we've all been trained to want? So as I said in the opening to Waking Up, chaos is what they want for you and me. because it justifies the state. The circularity of power's logic here holds. The civilization con is premised on, per constant propping up and repropping up of Hegel, and I'm talking about Georg Wilhelm Friedrich, who was a contemporary of Bentham's. So this civilization con is premised on a constant propping up and repropping up of Hegel from left and right. The ruthless, and this is Hegel, the ruthless striving, the stomping over all kindness in pursuit of quote unquote knowledge infinite. And all of this ruthlessness, the greed, the violence it uses as means, power then thrusts in our face to say, see, we must have nation states to hold this alleged dark side at bay. This has been power's MO from the beginning. It's a protection racket on a global scale. Create the problem and then make people pay for you to solve it. All the suffering we've endured is solely for this 0.0001% to pretend to be masters of the universe.